We usually at this time read the scriptures to God to sanctify the offering. But here I have a letter which is the fruit of those words. And this person asked me to read this to you today. And I want you to know that it's very important that someone and would want you to want to share with you the fruit of the Word of God. My beloved brothers, and sisters in Christ, my name is Jeannie. By the grace of God, I am overcoming a meth addiction. I was living in darkness, lonely in the world. All I had and loved was taken from me due to the sinful life I was living. But the Lord sought me out and delivered me to a loving and caring church. That's you. Take that and bury it deep in your heart. I have been clean and sober for 7 months. I write this letter to give hope to those who have been indirectly affected by this evil drug. Never cease in praying for those in bondage. God hears those prayers, and He does answer them. I am proof of that. Galatians 2:20 has been my strength for these past 7 months, along with the presence of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Please join me in praying to remove this evil drug from our community. Thank God that she found a loving church, because we're not here to condemn. We're here to have redemption. Oh God, thank you for the redemptive power. And may everyone assembled here in this body of Christ, may the Holy Spirit today so fill each of us that we'll leave here like the eagle, that we'll be able to soar above it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
been. Well, justice called for payment that was more than I could give. But Jesus smiled upon me, saying, I forgive.
Oh, the sweetest words he ever said.
We're in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Simon Peter has overcome the guilt. God does not want you to be guilty. He wants you to be forgiven and receive that forgiveness. He had committed a horrible sin of denying that he even knew Jesus. And he was angry there on the Temple Mount. And then the Holy Spirit fell upon 120 people who were gathered in the upper room. And after they had been filled with the Spirit, they went to the Temple Mount. And that's where we find this sermon, the first beautiful holy sermon preached in the newborn church. The church that you now have an opportunity to be a part of, the assembly of God. And he has been told before this, when he was in guilt, he was told, feed my sheep,
amen.
Feed my lambs.
Amen.
What do we feed people with? The Word of God. The Word of God will make your spirit soar and give you grace far beyond all that you could ever ask or think as a human being. We begin now, as we have reached this part in our study, we find that in the second chapter of Acts that Peter has quoted from the book of Joel in the Old Testament. And so we begin with verse 17 of Acts 2. Acts, the second chapter. And we'll begin with Acts, the second chapter, beginning with verse 17. Acts 2:17. It shall come to pass. He's preaching. This is the middle of his sermon. It shall come to pass in the last days. Now, if you want to be a student of the Word of God, the Bible says rightly divide the Word of God. So therefore you need to know, when are the last days? The last days began on the day of Pentecost and will end at the end of the Great Tribulation when Jesus comes back to this earth. Then another term will come into being, the day of the Lord, not just one 24-hour day, but 1,000 years of Jesus being in Jerusalem, being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, like it was promised to Mary. The Virgin Mary was promised that the government would be on the shoulders of the child, the miraculous Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, would give. And so it shall come to pass in the last days. Now you and I are living in the last of the last days. Jesus at any time can say, I've received orders from the Father. I'm going back to earth, not as an humble baby in a cow pen out in a place where the cattle are because there was no room. The world didn't have room for me, but I was able to be born among the cattle there in a place in Bethlehem. And it came to pass in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Listen carefully. I have the responsibility, and all of us who are saved have the responsibility of making everyone aware that Jesus died for their sins. But I want to tell you, if no one ever tells you that he died for your sins, God will, no matter where you are, and many people don't agree with this, and that's your privilege, but the Bible says he would pour out his spirit not just upon people who were holy and were good and glorious and sinless. He said he would pour his spirit out on all flesh. And that's the part of me that I can't do anything about. But Almighty God wants you to have a powerful, joyful, glorious, fleshly life, as well as one in the spirit and in the soul. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. When we had the memorial service for Eugene Smith here Friday, one of the first things I have been led to do as we began a memorial service for one who has gone into eternity is to have just a moment of quiet meditation where we all just silently allow the Holy Spirit to come and to do that which nothing else can do. And today I have that same prayer for you and for me, that this will not just be a time that we came to church, but that God's Spirit came to us. And he especially does that. And I hope I don't embarrass this young man, but young man, when you put all in the offering, you bless me. Because you've got a great future ahead of you. Because you're in the right place doing the right thing. Hallelujah. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That is, that young people, God has blessed my wife and myself with four wonderful daughters. And they are daughters who prophesy. They are not the kind of people they are, the great girls they are, because they had a great father or a great mother. It's because they have been inoculated with the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what counts. And may all our sons and daughters, may we pray for them, because they're going to live in a time that human beings have never known the challenge that they're going to face. I thank God that I have had the opportunity that I've had. But I pray for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, because there's going to come evil upon this world, and there's only one way to overcome, and that's by the power, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Young men in this audience, open up your heart to the visions that God wants to give you in a day when visions will mean more than they've ever meant at any time in the history of mankind. And your old men shall dream dreams. Wednesday night, as I was driving home after a beautiful service here with you, suddenly I heard the words, "Preacher, you're 80 years old." That means it's my time to start dreaming great dreams. Oh, you know, no matter what happens to your body, and it's eventually going to wear out, but my spirit will never wear out. And I can start dreaming great dreams. And so can you. Hallelujah. I am seeing things that God's going to do before Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives. That's going to be wonderful, and you're going to be a great part of it. You are right now a great part of it. And on my servants, and on my handmaidens, the men and women who have dedicated their life to me, I will pour out in those days my spirit. And they shall prophesy. The word prophesy doesn't just mean to tell about the future. It tells about even every part of the Word of God. From the very first word in Genesis, Bereshit, in the beginning. I'll just quote that whole verse to you in Hebrew with my Arkansas accent. Bereshit bara Elohim eith hashamayim v'eith ha'aretz. And that last word, v'ruah, the Spirit hovered over the creation of God. And I will show wonders in heaven above. Now, here we begin to see prophecy that is yet future. He now begins to quote from Joel things that will happen in the future, even in our future. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Listen carefully. The Greek koine, Holy Spirit word here, that's how God gave it originally. The word vapor, the English word vapor, comes from the Greek word, I'll spell it for you, A-T-M-I-S. It is translated atom. That little particle that causes the atomic bomb. And who knew that until this last century, that they would cause that little particle unseen? They would split it and it would cause great explosions. And the Bible says that that's going to happen in the last days, and we've seen that come about. And if you do not think I'm right about that, just check out the etymology of the word vapor here. And you will know that this is the prophecy of the, and I mispronounce this word, I'm told, every time. So get ready for it. Nuclear. Someone said, well, won't you pronounce it right? I don't know. I have dyslexia. So God lets me pronounce it like I can. Anybody here not know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, praise the Lord, I've communicated. You have to make fun of yourself every once in a while. It's good for you. I feel sorry for a preacher who can't make fun of himself. Brother Phil helps me a lot on that. Would you come and tell that one Jewish story? The one about the body, you know.
About the body?
You know. What do you call it when you just show the head of a person?
The bust.
The bust, all right.
Okay. All right, there was an old Jew who had lived in the Soviet Union all of his life, and finally, after all of his family had gotten out of the Soviet Union and had gone back to Israel, he finally got enough money together and was being able to go back. It was very difficult, and he was standing in customs leaving Russia. They were going through his stuff, and they pulled out a bust of Lenin.
Ooh.
And they said, the customs agent said, what is that? And he said, what is that? What is that? It's not a that, it's a who. It's Lenin who started our great socialist experiment here in Russia. And the customs agent said, oh, yes, you may pass. So then he goes to Tel Aviv and he's arriving there. And he goes he's standing there and the customs agent there is going through his stuff and they pulls out that bust of Lenin. And he says, what is that? And he says, what is that? What is that? It's Lenin, that horrible man who kept us captive in Russia all of these years. And so then he goes home, for all of his family's been waiting for him to finally come. And his grandson meets him and he's unloading his things. And his grandson says, who is that? And he says, who is that? Who is that? It's not a who, it's a what. It's 8 pounds of gold.
Remember, God wants us to be happy. And that old Jew was smart enough to smuggle that gold out of Russia. Thank God. Okay, back to the ranch now. Thank you for laughing. Laughter. I was listening to a great Christian psychiatrist recently, and he said that one of the greatest cures, are you listening?
Yes, that's right.
For Alzheimer's is to laugh a lot. Because there are chemicals in your body that are released when you laugh. When you laugh for the right things, not a bunch of sick jokes. That wasn't a sick joke. That was a living, healthy. That was healthy, Brother Phil. Okay, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, they're on the Temple Mount now. He's especially speaking to the people who had Jesus killed. Nailed to the cross, beaten. Ye men of Israel, hear the words Jesus of Nazareth. And I told you last week, when they called him Jesus of Nazareth, that was not a nice thing to say about him. Because Nazareth was thought as being one of the most low-down, cheap cities or villages in Israel. As a matter of fact, when the apostles were being called to be his apostles, one of them said to the other, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And that person that was called said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So when he used that word, when Peter used that word, you know what he was doing? He was lifting up people like me. You see, I was looked upon being, and I've gotten over it. I was looked upon as being a cheap, poor kid. Yes, looked down upon. But God changed all that. He'll change it for everyone that'll let Him. When you were a nobody, and then God, by His grace, makes you somebody. And all of you are somebody. You're somebody. And don't you ever forget it. And every time someone tries to put you down, look up. Because you can know that Jesus, your Savior, lived in one of the most looked down upon poor towns in the world. Jesus of Nazareth, ye men of Israel, He worked miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you. You saw Him. You saw what He did. And you yourselves know it. Him being delivered by the determined counsel. Now, I've preached this. This is the third time I've preached what I'm going to say now. I want to say it one more time. The determinate counsel. What is that? Back in eternity, before there was ever anything created, there was God all one. And I don't understand the Trinity, but I believe it. But God the Father said to Jesus, Son, I'm going to create some beings who will have a free will, who can sin. And I cannot receive sin. I am holy. Son, you're going to have to go when I tell you and die and pay for their sins. And He has. Your sins have been paid for. And now you can go to the presence of a holy and righteous God. And I know many of you who heard me preach over these 45 years already heard this. It won't hurt you to hear it again. There was an old black preacher. His name was John Jasper. He had been a slave. He had taught himself to read. And he became a great preacher. He was in his 90s. And he was up on the stage with a bunch of other preachers. And they did a lot of preachers do, talk too much. And he went to sleep. And they woke him up and they said, now, John, it's time for you to speak. He said, well, while y'all was talking, I had this wonderful vision. I had died and had reached the pearly gates. And I said, I want to come in, Mr. Angel. And that angel said, you can't come in here, John. Look at all the sins you've committed. You can't come in here. And that angel said to me, you can't come in here. And I said, you listen, Mr. Angel. I have Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again as my Savior. And I have been told that's my ticket to get in. And that angel said, get in here! I can't bar nobody from these gates that talk like that. Talk like that, Jesus! That's my ticket. Old John R. Rice, God bless him, he's with the Lord now. But he used to say, you can have reservations. He said, I've got reservations that Jesus made for me in heaven. Verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden with death. And then he quotes from the 16th Psalm, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul. And the King James uses the word hell. The word here is Hades in the Greek. And in this place, it means the place of a departed spirits. There is a place for us to go to. Jesus has made a place when you breathe your last breath. And they did not leave his soul in the place of departed spirits. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That's Jesus. Thou hast made known to me the way of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy in my countenance. Men and brethren, he's preaching, and it's to you too as well as me. Let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and I have been to where I have touched his tomb there in Jerusalem. So it's not talking about David here, it's talking about Jesus. Therefore, being a prophet, that is David, and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, David's descendants, according to the flesh, he shall raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. David preached that in the Psalms. That his soul would not be left, and I'll use the Hebrew word, in Sheol. Neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, the one who died on the cross and arose again and ascended to the right hand of God, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being highly exalted and being received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed abroad. He's done this in our hearts. And when he told these people that they had crucified the Son of God, the question was asked, what shall we do? What shall we do? And what shall we do? And here is one of the most controversial scriptures in the Bible, all because of a misinterpretation of one little preposition. I want to get it right this morning. Will you listen carefully? I'll read it in the King James translation. Then Peter said to them, repent, change your mind about Jesus and accept him as the Messiah and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. Now the interpretation depends upon that preposition, F-O-R. It is the Greek word E-I-S, ice, and it means because of, because you have repented, because you have accepted Jesus, because you do believe that he has forgiven you of your sins and given you a new life. Because of that, be buried in water as a symbol of what he has done for you. He has baptized you into Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because your sins have been remitted, and then become a part of a New Testament church and serve God. And in this church, are you listening? Every one of you are a priest, and Christ is the high priest. And we don't answer to men. You answer only to Jesus. Is that enough? Well, you are a priest and Christ is your high priest. Oh, hallelujah for the priesthood that you are as we stand to sing and as God moves in the invitation.
Let's all offer up, only trust Him, only trust Him.
Come every soul, thy sin.
Seated a moment, this family has been led here by the Lord, and what a wonderful group.
Wow.
And they believe in the full anointing of the Spirit of God. They have obeyed those words in the 5th chapter of James. If you'd like to read it sometime, just read about what we have just done here. And then this brother and sister are becoming members of this body of Christ. We have prayed. Maybe you're one of our prayers. Come help us to do what's right in this community.
Amen.
Just the academy.